and welcome to Future Library. My guest today is an actor and musician. He's currently starring in a Hollywood blockbuster alongside such luminaries as Paul Kreis, Simon MacArthur, Derek Price and Linda Murrell. He is a musician. He is a member of several bands, but he's probably best known to those listening to the show as King of the Show in a 1999 episode of This Morning with Richard Not Judy. This is Chris Winchester. Chris, how are you doing?
I am doing delightfully, despite the lack of sleep, Alex. Well, hello.
Fantastic. I think we need to get this out of the way first, because it's a question that everybody wants to know about. What was it like being King of the Show in This Morning with Richard Not Judy?
It was brilliant. It was the very last episode. So I am still King of the Show. I am the reigning and forever King of the Show, because I think that they did two series and this was the end of the last series.
You were the final King of the Show.
I was the very final King of the Show. They didn't let me keep the crown, though, unfortunately. It was a hired prop.
So unless Russell T. Davis reboots the show, you will be the Paul McGann of This Morning with Richard Not Judy as the longest-running King of the Show.
I guess so, and also rather beautifully with that analogy. I was the shortest King of the Show as well, because I didn't get to say anything. All the other kings of the show got to make a proclamation, and they thought it would be an hilarious end of show joke if I didn't actually get to say anything, and they cut me out. So I was on screen for about that long, which is rather like being an extra in The Hobbit. No, look at that segue.
That's because you're also for moviegoers of today, they will be seeing you as the role, I think it's pivotal to the movie, of Lake Towner, brackets, uncredited.
That's me.
That's you. Yeah.
Currently next to Hugo Weaving on the Internet Movie Database.
Wow. I think he's
on account of the surname.
Amazing. So yes, you're in the Desolation of Smaug, as those of us who are familiar with Tolkien describe it, and Smaug, as people who don't know anything about Tolkien would call it.
Tut tut tut.
Yeah, the same kind of people who call him Sauron.
Ooh.
Yes, exactly.
That stings. It stings.
Stings like the sword.
Yes, which the uninitiated call Sting.
Sting, yeah. Interestingly enough, fact fans, and this is a little bit like that BBC's movie's greatest mistakes, in so much that I've stolen this bit from that. The sword doesn't go blue when there's orcs around in the first movie.
Doesn't it?
No, when there's tons of orcs around, it stays resolutely silver.
That's really naughty, isn't it?
That's very sloppy, Peter Jackson. But we'll be coming and back to Peter Jackson's sloppiness later.
he's a lovely fella, you know.
I'm sure he is.
But let me get that out of the way now, Peter. Okay. If you're listening, you're a lovely fella.
I hope Peter does listen. That would be very nice. But let's quickly go through the other things you've done. You've been Sawtooth Sam in, I believe, the first Southern Hemisphere franchise of the Rednecks.
Can you believe it? Yeah, that was a short-lived association. But yes, I am.
Are you no longer a redneck?
Well, sort of. I've never officially left. Well, maybe I have.
Are you the last? Are you the last redneck? He's now Sam.
Yeah, and rather the I'm like the last of the Mohicans.
So you're going to remain as Sawtooth Sam forever, unless Russell T. Davis reboots Rednecks.
Or turns him into, John Hurt.
Comes back as Hurt, yeah.
I'm seeing a theme here.
There is
only one, so let me clear this up. There is only one Sawtooth Sam, and that is me. One of the beautiful things about Rednecks, which, listeners, if you forget, was the great techno bluegrass band that brought us Cotton Eye Joe in 1990. Oh gosh, what was it for?
and some other songs, but nobody.
And some other songs.
Yeah,
I can remember them quite well.
That's only because you've been playing them recently, though.
I didn't exactly play them, but yeah. every person who's been a member of Rednecks, and there's been about 20 of us, has their own character, and my character was Salted Sam. It's a sort of ensemble thing where they swap people in and out.
When you say there's been about 20, it sounds a bit like The Fall.
Yeah, it's very, very like that, but The Fall actually, The Fall can actually play.
Yeah. Pussycat Dolls, as Kat points out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like a sexier Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, you should see me in spandex.
I'm hoping that you'll send a photo so I can share that with the listeners. You've also been Middle Earth Man in John O and Ben at 10.
Yes, I got to. Can we say fuck here?
You can say whatever you like.
Excellent. Then I got to say fuck.
On the television?
It was great. On the television, New Zealand.
Was this on
New Zealand? On New Zealand. New Zealand.
I was going to say, New Zealand television, there's nowhere else in the world, apart from maybe Australia, where you'd get away with having a show with somebody called Jono on it.
Not at all. No.
You wouldn't get that in the UK. The news at 10 with Jono. With Jono and Ben.
Jono and Ben at 10. Bong.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't have
that. Yeah. Bong. Yeah, that was kind of what it was like.
And you were in Surprise, Surprise. As a ring.
I was in Surprise, Surprise.
As yourself.
Oh, you're reading. You're just reading out IMDb. Isn't research.
Alex. I've not got IMDb up in front of me now. He says switching off his iPad and putting it down. No, I haven't got that in front of me. No, this is all stuff I've learned during the day, reading through books.
Of course,
IMDb
it is.
Come to me to get the information.
Of course, it is.
Yeah,
I did star alongside the great Miss, as she likes to be known, Cilla Black. In 1989, was it? Wow. 1990, something like that.
She was about 70 then?
She's like a Time Lord. She regenerates periodically.
The latest version, obviously, being when she regenerated into Adam Buxton.
That's right.
With the Laura, that's right. Laura.
Yeah.
Kat was looking confused for a second now, and now she's added the two things together in her head. Laura, Laura.
And the beard. It's the beard, really. Yeah. That was great. It was a Cillagram. We did another opening, another show. See, I do that as well. I could be a hoofer and everything.
You could
dance.
Yeah,
I'm like John Barrowman.
You are,
but less like John Barrowman.
You're like John Barrowman, but gayer.
Much gayer than John Barrowman.
We all know that if we've learned anything from the Five-ish Doctors, we've learned that he's a fraud and has a family.
It is a splendid. That's a splendid thing, isn't it? Peter Davison should be absolutely delighted with himself.
And I have to say, if they did actually end up in the show under the blankets, then that would be even better. I kind of hoped that happened. Obviously, listeners who haven't seen that. Won't have a clue
you
what
can view
talking
it.
About.
But you can view it if you like, but there's not much here to see.
No, I mean, there will be, when it's on YouTube in a few weeks, you'll be able to view it, but it'll just be a picture and
preferably of Chris in spandex.
Yeah, picture of Chris in spandex. I'm hoping you'll supply time for that. So, Chris, you're obviously not from New Zealand. I first encountered you on Live Journal. I had thought of using that as the opening thing of, you know, you're best known from to listeners from Live Journal. Russian-owned former hotspot where everybody once was. It was like Facebook without any of
faces.
Without faces, with occasional photographs, with a lot of stuff that was behind the cut.
It's Rodri's fault, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And Rodri Marsden, who some people, I'm trying to get him on the show actually at some point.
Oh, he's got to come on. You'll have to get Rodri on.
Yeah, tell him to come on, because I send him messages and he says yes, and then he doesn't reply for a bit.
He's in Scritti Politti. He's huge.
Yes. It's the same as him and the other person I'm trying to get on at the moment is Dose One from Subtle and Themselves and Dose One, the American rapper, the rapping man. He talks over music, Kat. you know.
I'm going to pretend. I'm going to pretend like I know who you're talking about.
We've all seen them, haven't we? The rappers.
I'm down with the rappers. Yeah,
back behind the corn bow.
Yeah. Near the coin exchange. Yeah, we've all seen the rappers. Oh. He's a rapping man who comes on and talks over music. I sent him a tweet with that newfangled Twitter, asking if he'd come on the show, and he said sure. And then hasn't responded much since, so I need to chase him up a bit more. But yes, but Rodri, I want to get him on. Listeners may well, if you've travelled on a bus or a train or anywhere into a city recently and had a shortlist forced upon you by somebody standing looking miserable outside the station, you've probably read some of Rodri's stuff. Of course, I've realised that I've kind of used up my intro to Rodri there.
Yeah, you know, it would be really nice if, you know, you talked about Chris instead of everyone else you'd rather have on.
I thought you were going to say about Rodri, if you've had something thrust at you in a train station by somebody miserable, you've probably met him.
Well, this is the way I met Chris was, because this is why it comes back to Rodri, because Rodri posted this thing on LiveJournal. I was wanting to say Facebook, then I was going in my mind MySpace, then I was going no further back than that. On LiveJournal, so talking about the whole thing with economic meltdown many years ago, at the back of the beginning of the current recession. Oh,
that was, I was still in Balham then.
Yeah, man. Back in the days when it seemed like it would only last a week. But he wanted photographs of people having economic meltdowns. He wanted people shouting into phones. Yeah.
Was that Rodri that caused
that? That was Rodri.
It was Rodri. Yeah,
the shouting
and
into
it had, Chris was one of the people that did it. Magaz and Mrs. Magaz were people who did it.
You?
I did it. There were so many people.
Did you have multiple phones?
I think I had three phones. I think I was holding one phone. I had one kind of either side of my head.
I had one in my teeth.
Yes, I remember.
And I was holding a book called The Beginner's Guide to Investment.
Nice. It was very good. I've got a cat trying to eat my headphones, and it's not my wife. No, Sky, you can't do that. You can't eat my headphones. They're not for eating. Headphones.
It took me about 3 hours to disentangle my headphones before this.
So I fold mine in a certain way. But again, that's a story for another podcast.
And your headphones?
Hey! So Rodri could have introduced us, and it's the beginning of a friendship that's lasted many years.
Yes. Yes.
It has been it's been a good couple of years before I met you, Kat. So it's probably been about 7 years now, I'd have thought.
Because it was as I say, it was before we moved here. It might have even been before my progeny was progenitured.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
it was roundabout then.
Before you made a Meg.
You decided to
made of Meg. Check out Meg, she's cool.
Yeah, and you can see her in a project that we will come to in a moment. And you ended up in New Zealand because you decided, I believe, I think the quote was, Britain's shit. I seem to remember that quote. Now, I can't remember, I don't know whether it's because you said it or whether I just made it up just now. But I remember somebody saying it, and it was definitely
I remember somebody saying it was just now. It was you.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, so we've got corroboration from...
I never said that.
British
I never
shit.
Said that. That'd be like Ringo saying that Liverpool was shit.
But it's like you thought it though, didn't you?
Not exactly.
It's like you thought it's in the same way as you thought an unexpected journey was shit.
I didn't think an unexpected journey.
Am I the only one?
Am I asking leading questions?
I suppose none that you are actually. No, I suppose take the unexpected journey analogy. If one compared an unexpected journey to the desolation of Smaug, listeners, do you have anyway?
Surprisingly large amount stuns me. So,
fantastic. If one compared them, then I wouldn't say that an unexpected journey was shit. But it might be considered shit-er. But I'm not saying that Smaug is shit, you see. So, for example, England is shit-er in many ways than New Zealand, in my humble.
Yeah.
You know. But New Zealand isn't particularly shit. So that doesn't mean that... Oh, you know what I mean.
So New Zealand's quite nice, and by comparison, Britain is shit. But it doesn't actually mean that
Britain
is shit.
No, I didn't say it was shit. No, it was shit-er.
It's
been quite nice.
It's shit-er. There's a difference, listeners, between shit and shit-er.
Britain. There is.
Britain is shitter.
Though, to be fair, there's
don't,
not a whole
don't
lot
confuse.
Of difference between an unexpected journey and shitter.
Yeah. Don't confuse your shit with your shitter, listener.
Yeah,
that's, yeah. You have a real problem if you're trying to shit on the shit instead of the shitter.
Yeah, if you're trying to use your shit to release some shitter, that's going to go badly wrong. That's not a fun time. It's getting perilously close to the conversation I had with Lachlan Rattray, where we talked about putting convenes and old men in residential homes. So I might steer it away from toilets. You've been. But you moved to New Zealand and you've kind of tried a few things and you've kind of ended up kind of stumbling into this kind of extra work and various things like that. So
yeah, it's always nice having extra work, isn't it?
Yes. So how did that happen?
Oh, it's all due to a German. It was all down to a German.
Adolf Hitler. In a way, isn't it?
An unexpected German.
Yes.
Yeah, Adolf Hitler, yeah, he failed to bomb our Chippy.
And he was Austrian as well, actually, technically, wasn't he?
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
So what happened was that we kind of joked when we came over here because they'd had, you know, the Lord of the Rings now. We're going over and we live in Wellington and we could be in The Hobbit. That'd be fun, wouldn't it, if they made The Hobbit. And then, of course, they were making The Hobbit. And we thought, hey, we could be in The Hobbit. And this is me and my wife.
Not just you, a random passerby.
Yeah. She's in the Hobbit too.
Yeah.
She's not in a Hobbit. That would be weird.
She's not in the costume.
No, she's not in a costume.
Hiding in a Hobbit. This is an interesting fact for you, Kat, actually, because, and Chris knows this already, but this, and it's a good fact for the listeners as well. The way they've made the Hobbit is that the Hobbits themselves, rather than using forced perspective to make the actor look smaller, they've actually made him very, very big. And it's a puppet operated by lots and lots of extras. And unfortunately, Nicky didn't get the role of being an extra. And what they do is they then film all the scenes with the dwarves and Gandalf. So Gandalf stands a bit closer to the camera, and the dwarves stand a little bit further away. And then the Hobbit robot, run by extras, that looks a bit like Tim from The Office, is about 30 miles away on the horizon. And through camera trickery, they managed to flatten that and make it look like they're all in the same place.
How is that not forced perspective?
Well, it's kind of like forced perspective, but with a robot, Tim from The Office.
You lost me at...
put a Shrek in it.
No, it doesn't have a Shrek in it.
You lost me at very big.
Yeah, it's a very big Hobbit that, that they've made it much bigger. Because that's the way he wanted to do it this time. He'd done it with big tables last time and weird-shaped carts. To make Gandalf and Elijah Wood from, you know, Elijah Wood from Wilfred, the show with the dog. Best known as psychopath
Kevin.
In Sin City.
Kevin.
That's his most famous role.
Yeah. I loved that part.
So what, Kevin from
the Sin City thing?
Yeah,
I loved that. I saw that in New York. I remember actually.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm just name drop sorry places I've been
before it came out. I saw it in New York on the way back from New Zealand when we went to New Zealand before we came to New Zealand. You see what I mean?
But have you noticed that Elijah Wood has a very wide neck? His neck is as wide as his head.
Well, that's going to really mess with the force perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But obviously, Tim from The Office doesn't have that going on. So Tim from The Office is all right. So it's all right there. But yeah, Tim from The Office was in it. But yeah, Sin City was good as well.
I think the only thing that I missed about, you know, going to see The Hobbit was, you know, The Hobbit.
Yeah, I had hoped to see The Hobbit when we went to see The Hobbit.
We saw a story of Azog.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Azog. He's lovely, isn't he?
He's not, though, is he, Chris?
Oh, don't get me started on that bloody great white orc.
I have a fantastic version of The Hobbit, obviously official, on my computer, and it's a fairly rough fan edit. It's only an hour and a half long, and it's taken out all the stuff that isn't in The Hobbit. It's great. It actually pops along at a right speed. It does make me hope that at the end, when all the extended editions are out... Extended edition...
I nearly bought you an extended edition of The Hobbit. It's like 12 hours long. You could read the book in 12 hours.
Yeah, you could write the book in 12 hours. I've got this edit of it that's taken out all the non-Hobbit stuff. And you know what? There's a good movie in there.
Oh, stop it. It's lovely.
You're only saying that because you're in it.
I'm not in that one.
No, you're not. So we can talk about that one. I mean, are you going to be doing any more?
No, we can't. Peter Jackson? No, we can't. Warner Brothers would set the wags on me.
Okay, well, we can talk about it. You can just listen.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah. So
we've refused to go see The Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah.
Oh, don't refuse, because I'm in it.
I've heard a lot of people say that the spiders are terrifying and the dragon is everything you can imagine, but it's certainly dwarf, elf,
love triangle,
live love things going on is so not canon.
Yeah.
Oh, the love thing. Don't worry about the love. There's barely any love in it.
And Bard has a son.
Well, look, you should just watch my video. It explains it all.
Yes. Well, that bridges quite nicely. Now, this is the reason why I decided to actually talk to Chris now. I've mentioned to Chris about 2 years ago, because he'd come on the podcast and he said yes. And then, you know, then I stopped doing the podcast for a bit and then I started doing it again. And then Chris did something that made it seem like the obvious thing was to get Chris on. So, having made The Hobbit, and because I think we could safely say that Chris has made The Hobbit, couldn't we?
I made it. Yeah. I mean, it certainly wouldn't be made without me.
No, how would we describe him again? I need to get the correct title here for you, because I don't want to misattribute you in the movie. It would have a hole in it, certainly, for Lake Towner uncredited. There would be a hole for that character. Without, if you hadn't been there, but yes, you've made The Hobbit, you've done all your hobbiting, and now you've formed a band.
Yeah, it's a band. Well, there's two of us in this video, yeah. And we're called the Askaroth Three. Yeah, that's hilarious, isn't it?
Well, it reminds me of, I'm hoping that it's a reference to when the BBC made that a series of tripods. Where they introduced the, at the time, groundbreaking two-part trilogy.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? The way that they did that and completely changed it at the end of the second series because they didn't think they had enough viewers.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that's what it was
just when it, to, picking the, just when it was getting to the good bit.
Yeah, absolutely, just when it was getting to the good bit. And it had, for anybody who can remember the BBC version of Tripods, the Tripods, the aliens, lived in a city that looked a little bit like the opening sequence from Blockbusters on television. When the kind of little things flew down at the beginning of the TV show Blockbusters, I always used to think, that looks like the city from the aliens in Tripods.
That's amazing.
It's quite a niche remembrance, that.
Yeah.
there's listeners going, stop, delete, everywhere.
I've lost my thread now completely.
A duo form of a trio band. Three members.
Well, there were three of us to start with, and then one of us got incinerated. So you'll see on the credits it says the Askaroth Three, Christopher Winchester. That's my official name, Christopher. Christopher Winchester, Carlton McRae, and Lizzie Ash. You see, that's a little joke, Lizzie Ash.
And is Lizzie Ash somebody who was actually incinerated as a Lake Towner?
Lizzie Ash is. There is actually a third member of the band called Liz, but she wasn't in this particular song. But she's not called Ash. But she is a Lake Towner. And pretty much everybody who's in the. Everybody who's in the video for Who the L is Tauriel, my video, which is on YouTube now, Who the L is Tauriel, it's as Alex said earlier before we started recording this, it's either now a huge viral internet sensation or a complete failure, because this is Yeah. This is going out in 3 weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, listeners to the podcast recently will have become quite familiar with the fact that I've ended up recording them when I can, when people are available. And at one point, I didn't have any stockpiled, and I've now got about 4 or 5 stockpiled, ready to go, which just kind of come out on a weekly basis. But it does play merry hell with events. So we're sitting here about a week and a half before Christmas, and people are going to be...
I'm sitting in front of my very Christmas tree, in fact.
We're sitting in the room that has our Christmas tree. We've got our sad light on to make us feel a bit more kind of less depressed in the winter here. You're sitting in the summer in the Southern Hemisphere.
I am very much so.
Just in case you hadn't noticed, I thought I'd clarify that for you.
It's a beautiful morning. I can see the Pahutakawa tree out of the window.
There you go. And you're in the morning, we're in the evening, because, you know, obviously you're forward in time.
I am.
Yeah, because it's Wednesday morning for you, I believe.
Yeah, as so the day begins. That's weird. The month.
So, you know, because we're still on Tuesday night. But so you know, just to muddy the waters further for listeners. So we're recording this before Christmas, so it's coming out in January.
No, bring it out first. Bring it out. Bump me up. Bring it out now.
I've bumped other people already for something, so I'm having to be nice and, you know.
Pah.
But I will. It'll be all right. It'll be right. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
How much? How much to bump me up? How much?
How much to bump you? To bump you up?
How much?
Sorry, I can't bump people any further. I've bumped people already. I bumped people for throwing muses. I bumped people for Laraji. I can bump no more.
You're a very bad bumper.
I'm bumped out.
Mm.
Do the Humpty bump?
Yeah, I've hit the end of my bumping ability. The thing is, I actually call the score on the bumping, but I can't really bump anymore. So this is the weird thing. So, I mean, it's at the moment, it's gathering a kind of a modest amount of traction.
But modest momentum.
Yeah, but it could go either way at the moment.
It could. It's at that point. The little seedling is pushing towards the light, and it's got the little. You know, when you have those two little leaves at the start. You know.
Yeah.
It's kind of at that stage, with the two little leaves.
But, of course, the listeners don't actually... Well, they will... Well, if it's been a huge success, they will know about who the hell is Tauriel.
Everyone will. Or Tauriel. Tauriel.
Smaug. Tauriel.
It's easy, isn't it?
But you see, the thing is, Tauriel isn't quite... It doesn't quite follow the naming tradition of Smaug and Sauron. It's not quite the same.
So it's any...
Tauriel.
You'll find, if you watched the film that I star in as Lake Towner, uncredited, you will find that sometimes she is referred to as Tauriel. So, fact, if you listen to our music video, to the audio part of our music video, or download the track from iTunes in a region near you for 99 cents or 79p or whatever, if you do that, then you will hear that some of the backing vocals actually include the pronunciation Tauriel in order to muddy the water still further.
I mean, of course, to give her her correct Tolkien title, her name is not in the book.
That's right.
Yeah,
we nearly used that very joke. We nearly put a little caption up at the start that had, you know, a little translation from the Elvish saying Tauriel, not in the book, or made-up name, or something.
Well, I mean, we should clarify.
But of course, they all have made-up names because Mr. Tolkien himself made up the names.
Yes, but you're saying that, but did he make up the names, or did he just translate them from the Great Book of Westmarsh?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he made them up, didn't he? He sat in his little room in Oxford, or Birmingham, I think he started writing them in. Made them up. I'm cautious of what to say here because I'm cautious that I know that the Tolkien estate can be quite litigious. It could be said, and I'm not saying it, but it has been said by others that there's slight racist undercurrents in Tolkien's work, that all the baddies are black and all the goodies are white. And the goodies are all kind of into keeping things as they are in a certain kind of Luddite, kind of farmland-style fiefdoms with kings and the like. And the baddies are all into technology and moving the world forward. That has been said by others. I'm not saying that. Tolkien estate.
I love the goodies.
The goodies. Well, of course, with the goodies, I mean, two of them are still quite friendly, but Bill Oddie's famously grouchy.
Well, yeah. Bless him.
He's a famously curmudgeonly man. But yeah, it could be said that Tolkien's a little bit racist, but not by me.
Well, that's clearly been fixed by the introduction of Tauriel, who is a ginger.
Yes, but only she's not really in the movie, is she? She's more kind of a brunette.
Yeah.
She's sort of red-brown.
Reddy-brown. But Auburn. We should explain...
Gingers are calling her ginger, you know, because they want to say, hey, we're in The Hobbit, you know?
Well, we should clarify for listeners who maybe have avoided the Desolation of Smaug, just who the hell is Tauriel and what the song is about. The song...
Who's the L?
The L. The L stands for something. I can't think what the L would stand for. What could the L stand for, Kat?
L. Love.
Love.
All you need is love. Yeah. The love. It's not. No, it's not an L. It's not an L.
It's not
the
letter L.
It's the letter L.
Yeah.
It's ELL with a little apostrophe that either has a capital E or a lowercase e, depending on whether you're me, who created it with a lowercase e, or the people who put it up on iTunes who decided to give us an uppercase e.
But I'm pretty sure you didn't create the word L.
But he created the thing. I mean, I had this conversation with Miles Hunt about the name of the first Wonderstuff album. Because when I was growing up, we had many arguments, me and my friends, as to whether it was the eight-legged groove machine or the eight-legged groove machine. And as Miles rightly said, as he was the one that came up with the title, he could tell me what was the right one. And he did. And it was legged, which is what I'd said. So I won. So because you came up with it, Chris, that means you actually win, and it's your title. So the correct version is with the lowercase e.
That is correct, and you will see it on the beautiful cover that I designed with a little bow. Do you like that? It's a bow, but it's made out of question marks.
Fantastic! It's very.
I thought you'd like that because
it's very clever.
Alex is kind of arty farty, you know, but he never makes any money.
No, well, that's something we've got in common.
Yeah. I spent all that time saying, Alex, put your prices up. Sell these are artworks. Sell them for, you'll make some money. And then look at me.
Hoist by my own petard. Well, you know, you should be charging £10 for the track on the UK.
I should be charging £10 for this interview.
Yeah. Well, hopefully actually I've been quite surprised by the amount of listeners we've got because every few weeks Andy who runs the website that it appears on for the first week before it goes up on iTunes, he sends me the statistics for how many hits it's had and how many downloads each one's had. And they've grown steadily. And I was astonished when I saw that the Wonderstuff, it was the one with Miles Hunt and Sanjeev Kohli, had about 1,700 listeners. And then all the ones since then have had more, and they seem to increase each time, which I'm ever so grateful for, listeners. I'm genuinely stunned that people want to listen to me gibbering nonsense at people that some people may not have heard of. But
so am I.
It's great. It's great. So hopefully those people will go and want to listen to the track. Now, even if they only go and click play on YouTube, it's going to push it up a little bit.
That's it. Please just go and click play on YouTube. It doesn't matter what video. Just go and click play on YouTube.
Any video, Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus, that would do.
There's many videos on YouTube. I heard there are at least three
videos. Yeah,
there's Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
Yeah,
there's that one where they do the funny dance.
Yeah, the funny dance one.
That one where they do the funny dance.
Yeah,
and then there's Who the L Is Tauriel by the Escaroff 3.
It's amazing that technology has given us such a cornucopia of choice.
Yeah.
It's like it's a little cornucopia that you can open it and it...
Well, you said it twice.
It pours out. Yeah.
But you said it...
It's because I can pronounce it. So I, it's one of those words like phenomenon. I can say that. So I use it.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Phenomenon.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Phenomenon. By the miracle of technology, that's happening across the world.
That is a phenomenon, isn't it?
You see, that phenomenally, signal is going up into space, under wires, under oceans, and in real time we're still having a conversation. Gotta love technology. So Who the L Is Tauriel is a song that your band has written
I wrote it. I wrote
that you've written.
I wrote it.
That you've
I
wrote. Written. Let's face it. You are the band.
No. No, Carlton, and Lizzie of course Ash. Lizzie.
Yeah.
But Carlton is a significant element.
Excellent.
And the next song is probably going to be one of his. In fact, if we had a B side, in the olden days, they had B sides, listeners. Because there were sides to the things, and then they had sides, and on the one side was A, and this is very much the A side because it's my one. And then Carlton would be like George Harrison on the back.
His next song is called "Where the Fuck Is Tootin' Buck?"
What, George Harrison?
Yeah, that's George Harrison's next single.
Where the fuck is Tootin' Buck?
Yeah. Obviously, he's had to play fast and loose with the name Timbuktu to actually get it to rhyme.
But... Oh, I thought you meant just south of Ballam on the Northern Line.
Ah, is there a place called Tootinbuck? Tootinbeck?
Yeah, anyway.
Yes, I should have thought that, but I hate London, so I wouldn't know much about the place.
Gateway to the south, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I deliberately didn't go to see Stuart Lee because I hate London so much.
I love Stuart Lee. You know why I love Stuart Lee?
Because he gave you your first role in...
He made me king of the show.
King of the show. The longest running king of the show.
We had a barbecue afterwards and we got very drunk and Stuart Lee was a bit depressed on the balcony. And on the, not balcony. There's a sort of sun terrace out the back of the studios at Hammersmith where they used to make it. And we all went and had a barbecue and got slaughtered.
I've heard that they would often go and sit afterwards on that same terrace and drink cheap vodka that they'd bought from the shop nearby.
Oh, did they?
This is something I learned from the Richard Herring podcasts, where I stole a couple of things from today, which I thought it was appropriate to you having been on the show with him.
I hardly spoke to Richard, but we spent I spent ages talking to Stu. He smoked most of my girlfriend's cigarettes.
Stuart Lee went to Solihull School, which was just up the road from the school I went to in Solihull.
Well,
I would have been there a couple of years ahead of me because he's just a couple of years older than I am. So there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. He's an elderly man now, like I am.
Going great. That's right. And he went to Oxford University, which is the university that I didn't go to.
I didn't go there either. What a coincidence!
Yeah, it's
just such a small world.
I would like to comment just from a purely female point of view that
hello, Chris, purely female.
Chris has a voice like melted butter.
Like melted butter.
I have many.
No wonder Nikki likes him. He's got a dead sexy voice. I mean, you've got a sexy voice too, sweetie.
My voice can be quite sexy.
But no, I was just like, oh, Mr. Winchester, hello.
I think we need to have.
If I get closer to the microphone, I have a voice that's even smoother.
Mm. I can do that as well.
Stop it. Stop doing weird.
You're listening to Future Library with me, your host.
You're listening to Button at the Bottom.
Oh, yeah.
His finger on the button.
He's fingering the button.
Not in the button, you weirdo.
All night long.
He's fingering.
You two stop.
Okay, Kat's getting a bit excited. So
that's because you're fingering the button.
Well, it's a nice
I'll wet my nighty.
Absolutely, you probably would. With excitement, it's the incontinence, isn't it?
Where were we?
We were talking about Stuart Lee and I was talking about how I hate London because we got onto that because of Tooting Back. Right, because of the B-side. And you were talking about a B-side for the song, Who the Hell Is Terry Hell. So tell me about the B-side and what the B-side will be.
Death.
The B-side might be a song called Lobster Mead.
Lobster Mead. Is that mead made from lobsters?
I think so. I don't know. Excuse me, but we haven't recorded it, so or indeed written it. But giggle. I've got a giggle like a girl.
Could it be called? Could you?
I may have a sexy man voice, but I've got a giggle like a girl.
Could you maybe call the next song Tim from the Office in Furry Feet?
Possibly, yeah.
Could you call it Endless Side Quests from a video game spun out into a movie?
No.
To describe the first film?
Called The Hobbit, the Appendices.
Oh, man. Yeah, so anyway, Tariel. Let's go back to Tariel. So for viewers
Kate
who haven't,
from Loft.
For listeners, I should say, who haven't seen the movie and are fans of The Hobbit, Tariel is a character introduced as as a female character, because there are no female characters in The Hobbit, and I believe New Line felt that there should be some female characters in The Hobbit, and also she needed to have
Warner Brothers.
They felt that they felt that Legolas needed to have some kind of companionship. Yes, you heard right, Legolas.
I don't know whether anything that you're saying here is true, but hey.
Well, it's true now because we've said it and we've verbalised it into the world. See, what's happened now is if anybody now writes this on Wikipedia, they can cite the podcast. and it becomes self-fulfilling. It's like the whole thing where you put nonsense on Wikipedia. Somebody then writes that nonsense in a newspaper and then you use the newspaper mention as citation for the nonsense and it becomes self-certifying.
My brain is hurting.
It's amazing. So that's what happens. So anything you want certifying on Wikipedia, say it on here, then go and add it to Wikipedia. And then when it says citation needed, when the podcast eventually comes out, you can put that citation in. It's then verified and it becomes a fact.
Excellent. Well, next time I'm on, we'll talk about my cartoon series.
Well, we will come back to that in a moment because I think.
Will we? I thought we only had 3/4 of an hour.
Oh no, we've got so much you want. No, that's fine.
Time's up.
No. I'm not going to kick you off. You know, we've still got things to say. We've still got work to do here. There's no running away.
Cup of tea's run out.
You can make another.
Where's my minion? I want a minion.
You can make another cup of tea if you want. You know, that's fine.
Can I?
Yeah, if you want to.
Well, I suppose we can cheat. We can edit, couldn't we?
Well, I don't edit. You know, Kat and I talk amongst
ourselves. I'll just wander off and make a cup of tea.
Yeah, you can wander off and make a cup of tea while I explain to the listeners about who Tauriel is.
You can play the song.
Yeah, okay. Well, at this point in the podcast, we'll play the song so people can hear it. So for the next couple of minutes, you're going to hear who the L is Tauriel. Now, what you can do, listeners, and I'm not going to recommend this, is you can just cut that little bit from the podcast and then you've got a free version. But it's going to be loads.
Yeah, no, please do that. Do that. That's cool.
But yeah, it'll be there.
You can go to your local iTunes or Amazon and download it for 79p or 99 cents or $1.79 in New Zealand.
Have you got it on Spotify yet?
No. Actually, it might be. I don't know because I have what I call an aggregator service.
Ah, did you use RootNote for it?
I'm not telling you.
He did.
He used RootNote.
I'm not telling you.
Well, I use RootNote.
RootNote.
I'm not telling you.
I'm going to tell Kat how much money I made from RootNote last year. Are you ready for this, Kat?
Was it 1p?
It was 63 cents.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, across all the downloads and Spotify plays.
That's fantastic.
It's big money.
It's pretty amazing.
But yes, okay, so we're going to hear the song, and then Chris is going to come back with a fresh cup of coffee, or tea.
Tea.
So go and make a cup of tea, and then we'll...
I'm going. Kettle's going on now.
Okay, do it. Here's the song, listeners. We'll just let it play for a minute, and we'll just talk amongst ourselves, Kat, and he'll think that we're playing the track.
You're such an arsehole.
Aren't I?
You should play the track.
Well, I might have the track playing below us talking at this point.
No, that'd be quite funny. Just be quiet for a couple of minutes.
Maybe I'll fade us out at this point and let the track play in. What do you reckon? Can that work?
Which of these are you buying?
Am I buying you those flowers? Kat's got flowers on the screen, listeners.
Who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. I've prided myself on knowing each and every elf, but suddenly it seems there's one more. She ran out of the wood, oh so magical and murksome. It really is no good, in fact it's rather irksome. Who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. Who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. Hold on, what the arse? That looks like Legolas. I'm pretty sure he's in the wrong book. He should be in that thing, the one about the ring. Bear with me, I'll go take another look. Some clever clogs just claimed he's in this one as well, but isn't named. But as excuses go, that's poor. And who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. There and back again, without an handkerchief. Orcs and spiders, elves and men, hills
with dragons underneath. Some fella on a sled with bird shit on his head. Just see the island edge on. I'm confused. Okay, let's cut the crap. He is a wizard chap, but wasn't he invented, then not used? He's racing orcs and wargs and frankly getting in the way. I really wish someone would shoot his bloody ass and crash his bloody sleigh. We've got a wizard, do we really need one more? And who the hell is Tauriel? Not heard of her before. Who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. They're taking the Hobbit to Erebor. 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 Ooh, Lake Town, very nice. All fish and snow are nice, but all this talk and treasure takes an age. And Gondolin forbid, Bard's got a mathy kid. I'm sure that this is more than just one page. He's nailed the author's vision of the Lake Town's oily boss. But who's that bloody psychic Alfred? Now I'm getting cross. He looks a bit like Grima Wormtongue, but I'm not quite sure. And who the hell is Tauriel? Not heard of her before. Who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. Out come Gandalf the Grey, there's lots of plot to play. When by the book I thought he'd disappear. The necromancer's back, he scrapped him through a crack. From one of the appendices, I fear. I'm disappointed with the wargs, because they never talk. And oh, don't get me started on that bloody great white orc. You've given him two trilogies, don't give him any more. And who the bloody hell is Tauriel? I don't believe I've heard of her before. They're taking the Hobbit to Erebor. They're taking the Hobbit to Erebor. Without an handkerchief. They're taking the Hobbit to elves and men. Elves with dragons underneath. They're taking the Hobbit to Erebor. Without an handkerchief. They're taking the Hobbit to elves and men. Elves with dragons underneath.
This podcast is, you know, his life for whoever's listening to it on their bike or while they're walking down the street. Absolutely, that's what they're doing. They're walking down the street listening to the songs.
She look good. Yeah. She look fine.
Look fine.
Look good. She look fine. And Chris has come back with his tea.
Have you returned with tea, Chris?
Hey, what?
He's plugging. He's doing something with his headphones.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard. Hey, what? What?
Hey, what? So yeah, I should have muted myself.
Oh, that's fine. So listeners have just heard who the hell is Tauriel? it's the Escaroth 3. A little talking reference there, I believe. So the whole family is in this song. So you've made this song about Tauriel.
Boy, that's a good cup of tea.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. We haven't worked out how to send tea through the internet yet in podcast form.
There's a lot of things we haven't figured out how to...
You haven't worked out how to establish a green room and one of those, you know, nice runner sort of ladies who does, you know, tea and stuff.
Well, one day I...
Like, when I worked on The Hobbit...
Were you in The Hobbit?
Yeah, I was in The Hobbit, you know. Yeah. And when I worked on The Hobbit, we had people who, you know, would bring us sushi and stuff.
Was it Tolkien-themed sushi?
It was just sushi. But it was very nice. It was particularly nice because only about half the extras liked sushi, so you got twice as much. Yeah. If you liked it, you know. There you go. Which was about as much sushi as you could physically cram down you.
You'll be pleased to know that you are also on eMusic, I've discovered.
Well, that's nice to know. I mean, he's doing his job then, old Phil, at not wherever you said earlier.
And the Lord of the Rings Online forum has a mention of you.
There's all sorts of places that have, you know, are starting to
pick up on it.
pick up on us. We got a tweet from theonering.net yesterday, who have a few followers.
They have four followers.
Four, yeah. Well, I follow them. There's you and Kat, isn't there? And then I believe they follow them. And then I believe they follow themselves.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. So.
Yeah, you should always follow yourself.
You should.
Well, that self-following makes you go blind.
I've heard
it makes your toes.
It makes your feet hairy.
You've seen Donnie Darko, you know. Yeah. It all goes very badly wrong.
We know what happens if you self-follow. I've seen the other director's cut of Donnie Darko, which explains it all, which is it's quite useful, really. And probably
I would recommend that version.
I would as well, because it's almost a shame that the filmmaker hasn't then made similar cuts of his other movies.
What, he made other movies?
Yeah, he did Southland Tales and he did The Box.
Right, sorry, those have just gone right over my head.
They pretty much like they did to cinema audiences. We went and saw The Box. It wasn't a bad movie, The Box. It wasn't a great movie.
But the chap who was in it.
The chap who was in it, didn't he? He had sex with the Joker in a tent.
What?
The guy who was in it?
The guy who was in it, not in The Box.
The guy who was in Donnie Darko?
Yeah.
What's his name? Jake Gyllenhaal? Had sex with the Joker in a tent?
Yes.
He had sex with the Joker.
Brokeback Mountain, of course.
Yeah.
That was that weird Donnie Darko Batman crossover movie. Where they replaced the iconic Joker's outfit with a cowboy outfit just to...
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I wish I knew how to quit you, Kat.
Here's a funny little story about Brokeback Mountain. I got glared at in the theater. So I went and saw it. Because there's one scene in which Donnie Darko's character decides he's going to shag his wife.
Right.
And they're getting into bed, and it's all sexy, sexy time, and then he flips her over so that her head's away.
Yeah.
And me and my friend went... Because it was so awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's this thing, because obviously he wants to, you know, pretend that he's bumming, you know, the Joker.
Yeah.
And it was just so awkward. Everyone looked at me like I was just the most horrible person ever. Because he flips her over. It's just so awkward.
That is quite awkward.
I think it was really funny.
Don't you think Bumming the Joker would be a great name for his autobiography?
Bumming the Joker? It would, wouldn't it? Yeah. By Donnie Darko. Bumming the Joker by Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko bumming the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jake Gyllenhaal and nerdery, it's not quite the Hobbit nerdery, but...
That's Gyllenhaal.
No, Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Like Sauron.
Sauron. For the record, I still think that when they redo Star Wars, they ought to cast Maggie and Jake Gyllenhaal as Luke and Leia.
Yes,
that would
absolutely.
make the most awkward kiss.
Yeah,
ever.
No, that would be amazing. No, we have played the recast Star Wars game several times, and we always end up with the same cast with Viggo Mortensen as Han. Brian Blessed as Lando.
Han.
That'd be Landau.
Landau, yeah. Loundow is to give him his credit. Anyway, let's dragging this back to the song. So you've made this song about this made-up
I'm getting character. The giggles. Sorry.
This made-up character in The Hobbit, more made-up than the other made-up characters. Already a figure of some controversy, I think we could describe her, couldn't we?
And she seems to be rather enjoying it. When I say not Tauriel, but the rather lovely lady who... portrays Tauriel.
She's played for anybody who's unaware. She's played by Kate from Lost.
Yeah.
Kate from Lost. She got off the island, and that's what she did. She's gone back in time to live in.
She got off the island, and her ears got all pointy.
Yeah, and she's learned.
She got herself a special bow that's made with question marks.
Yeah,
it's like a Doctor Who bow from the 1980s.
Yeah,
maybe what?
Yeah, bow's question is questionable. Her bow.
A Doctor Who. Yeah. From the 1980s, and Doctor Who in the 1980s.
No, I get that bit, but why does she have a question mark bow? I'm so confused.
Have you not seen the stuff that I slave? Yes.
But I know it's the weird question mark bow.
Slave of a Adobe thingamajig to make this beautiful stuff, and it just goes over people's heads.
It'll be sitting there on people's iPhones, and they'll be occasionally looking at it, and they'll see the logo. I'm going to show Kat the logo now. There you go, look, Kat. Look, question marks.
Oh, yes, I see.
Two question marks. You see, it's quite
clever. Sorry, it was so beautiful that it just looked like a bow.
Yeah, and there's a picture of the band on their Facebook page posing with the genuine Tariel. It looks like
she's very big, though. Very big.
Again, it's because of the effects that Peter Jackson used.
Absolutely.
That's how he does things, to make things look small. He makes other things look very big.
Smal. To make them look smal.
Yeah, to get the correct pronunciation. Smal. So you've written this song about how who she is. And really, describe it. You could have gone through a list of elves in that.
I do. A very list of very elves.
With
indeed.
Pictures of said elves.
As you heard in the song that Alex played to you, and yet not to me.
For
I was making a cup of tea.
So the listeners will have heard the song.
You will hear me saying, "I've prided myself." You see what I'm doing there? I'm putting a silly sort of Chaz and Dave accent on. I prided myself on knowing each and every elf.
Yeah,
that's elf, EWF.
And
see, that's the thing. That's, I think, why the sexy butter voice has thrown me, is I expected him to sound like...
You want me to talk like that, didn't you, darling?
Yeah, governor. Kat has just slightly excited herself.
So if I ever come back to London, they'll immediately give me a part on EastEnders.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To be fair, Alex is convinced that he'll be made King of New York, so...
Yeah, with my amazing New York accent.
Which will get you a well-deserved punching.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it now. I do, however, and you've probably heard this as well, Chris, that at the moment, with the rate that they're going through cast members in Game of Thrones, everybody who has got a British passport will have been in Game of Thrones by the end of the decade.
I actually suggested to my agent that she put me forward for Game of Thrones, and then realised that actually I'm Lake Towner uncredited, and it might be a little unrealistic.
Well, yeah, people are going to look at you. They're going to go, "Oh, why is Lake Tanner uncredited in it? Why is he in Game of Thrones?" It's going to confuse the Game of Thrones fans, because I mean that's got dragons as well.
They'd get me very mixed up.
Yeah.
Between the two roles,
It could cause problems. I'm sure that Peter Jackson would find problems. But yeah, so you've written the song. It's got pictures of elves. In the video, so people who've listened,
there's
to
some
song.
Funny. If you freeze frame it, there's funny captions.
Yes,
as well.
Because there's
but
one.
You have to. You've got to watch it about 50 times and just try, because you know what YouTube's like with freezing. It's difficult, isn't it?
Isn't there one? No, I noticed one thing, and I couldn't tell whether it was a mistake or deliberate. And I figured it must be deliberate. There's one bit where there's a frame that's almost just like a single frame pops up.
Is it?
Yeah, of a round thing with somebody in it, which pops up for almost just a single frame.
Is there?
I think so.
Oh. No, there is. It's deliberate. That's where it says, he says, "The necromancer's back," and it comes on like that.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
See, that's a Hobbit. That's a Middle-earth Tolkien Jackson. It's more Jackson reference, you see. Because whenever Sauron, with Auron, you see, whenever Sauron appears, you know, he goes like that. There's a sort of boomf sound, isn't there? And the great eyelidless Reeve with Flame, as we call him, appears, woomf. So instead, if you freeze frame it, you will see a picture of Ben, as we call him, Ben Cumberbund, appearing for a moment with spots on his face, because he's Sauron, you see. Well, the necromancer.
I'd heard.
The necromancer.
That's good. It's correct pronunciation. Yeah, pronunciation.
To be fair, I'm totally a Cumber bitch.
You're a Cumber bitch.
Oh yeah.
Rawr.
It's weird because
God, I mean, you can flip me over and I'll have him.
And that's for fans of Sherlock. That's actually how Sherlock escapes the fall from the hospital.
Stop it! Stop it! Lala!
Does he
flip
over Chris Winchester?
He uses the power of the ring.
La 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 la.
You're not missing an actual spoiler here, Chris. Don't worry.
We just flip you over and...
Yeah, and then he puts the ring on that he's made as Sauron.
His cock ring. Invisibility.
He puts Chris's ring on.
Yeah, and then...
No.
God.
Yeah, and then pops into
his ring of fire.
Yeah, his ring of fire. So you've got...
It burns! It burns!
So we have high hopes for the song. Now, obviously, as we clarified earlier in the podcast, the song's going to have been either a massive success or a colossal failure. And we'll only know when the podcast's out. So this is either going to be a really big coup on the level of getting maybe, you know, Psy from Gangnam Style on, or it's going to be...
Oh, that's what it's called, the one with the dancing.
With the dancing. Or it's going to be like getting the guy who said Leave Britney Alone on. Or Lightsaber Kid, Star Wars Kid.
Oh, I've just got some phlegm in my throat. I'm starting to talk like that.
But to be fair, though, they're both internet famous. It might be like getting, you know, Psy from Gangnam Style on or Chris Winchester.
If it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Christopher Winchester.
To give it his pronunciation.
Christopher.
So, I mean, there's an elephant in the room here, which we have touched on.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was cat.
Ollie Fount in the room that we need to talk about. I'm of the opinion that An Unexpected Journey wasn't very good.
You said that earlier. You said it was shit.
But I'm also of the opinion that it has actually retrospectively ruined The Lord of the Rings as well.
I agree.
What?
Because it's taken... bear with me with this.
What?
In The Lord of the Rings, there was... What? It was about 90% Lord of the Rings to 10% made-up bullshit. Now, we could live with the made-up bullshit of the ring goes to Gondor and I've fallen off a cliff and been licked to life by a horse.
And dwarf toss.
And you'll have to toss me. You know,
Tosses a dwarf.
We could live...
It was like... That was brilliant. It was like James Bond.
Yeah,
tosses a dwarf.
We could just about mess with that. And elves turning up at Helm's Deep, thus destroying the entire sense of dramatic despair.
Shut it up.
You see, the thing is, in the book, the reason why that whole section works is because
they're
hopelessly outnumbered.
Shut up.
But the elves turn up and Legolas surfs on a shield and...
Shut up.
But those bits were quite small compared to the rest of it, which is quite good.
Quite small.
Yeah, quite small.
I've done that one before, sorry.
And what's happened with An Unexpected Journey is that it's about 20% Hobbit and 80% made up shit.
Shut up.
But come on, Chris, you can't disagree with me on this.
I can, actually.
No, you can't. It's my show. You can't disagree with me. I think you'll find. I think you'll find that's the contract you signed before you came on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It does say, if you look at the small print, it says you cannot disagree with the host. But this is my opinion. And now, you see, the thing is, what's happened with this is that I don't know why he's done it, but he's spread this slim tome out to something that is actually, in its theatrical release, going to be longer than The Lord of the Rings was.
It's greed, isn't it?
Is it greed, Kat, do you think? I'm not saying that it's greed, but...
It's greed.
But there may be money involved with this.
There is money involved in the business of making feature films.
Should they be making it for the love of it? Like,
why? Why is he becoming the George Lucas of this generation?
And that's the thing we all... We were talking about this in bed last night. He is this generation's George Lucas.
He absolutely has been. Yes.
No.
Yes. He ruined a perfectly good trilogy by making three films that didn't need to be made.
No.
Made. Yes.
But
yes.
The thing is, the likeness is run deeper than this, because in The Lord of the Rings, in The Fellowship of the Ring, you've got a kind of naive, young kind of person coming from a farming background being pulled into this conflict, which has really nothing to do with him, until he finds out that actually his uncle in this case was somebody who kind of maybe has kicked the whole thing off. The second movie, the darker one, where things start to go wrong for our protagonist. And then the final one, where a small thing is dropped down a chute to destroy the evil baddie. So it's basically the Star Wars trilogy, the original 70s, 80s Star Wars trilogy. And then the new films are kind of a bit like the prequels to Star Wars. So
does that make the White Orc Darth Maul?
It does make the White Orc Darth Maul crossed with Jar Jar Binks.
I would have Radagast down as Jar Jar.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'm a complete arse. Yeah, no, Radagast is Jar Jar Binks. He's the Jar Jar. Is he in the second film?
Because that's why I say he's Jar Jar, because he's in the second film, but only a little bit.
But that's the thing, though, is what is the point of Radagast at all? He's supposed to be leading the orcs away, and he proceeds to run around in a circle, not allowing anyone to get away at all.
And occasionally...
Well, if you listen to my song, which is satirical, Peter and Warners, satirical, I'm actually taking the Mickey, as we say in England, out of the hardcore Tolkien fans. You can actually read it either way. See, this is the beauty of it. If you're a hardcore Tolkien fan, you can think that I'm speaking unto them for you. Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody who actually likes the films, like me, you can see it as being a lightweight satire on said attitude.
But Chris, is the only reason you like the films because it's sort of, you know, mental masturbation because you're in them?
Yeah. Not at all.
He only likes...
If there's going to be masturbation involved with these films, it has to be done, you know, in the cinema, for real.
And apparently that's actually legal in New Zealand.
Just like in Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. Listeners in New Zealand, I'm sure there will be some, try that. And if you do get arrested, don't blame me, because obviously I'm not in New Zealand. I don't know New Zealand law. So
neither do I, and I am in New Zealand.
You are in New Zealand. You don't know the law.
Not at all.
No.
So what is your legal status currently within New Zealand? Are you a dual national? Or are you just squatting on some farm?
Can you say without causing the New Zealand's feared immigration police to knock your door down?
Naughty holder.
I'm a permanent resident. I have a very shiny blue sticker in my British passport. And in next year I should become a joint citizen. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Oh,
that's fantastic.
A citizen of the joint.
Yeah. So is New Zealand nice?
It is a splendid joint.
Would you recommend New Zealand?
How did you manage it?
I mean,
you just wandered over to New Zealand, just showed up and said...
It's kind of almost what happened from what I remember. You just went. You just decided to go. You were both like, you know, fuck it, Britain's shit. We're going to go to New Zealand.
We don't have a baby or a child or a Meg or anything.
We've
got any plans.
We put a small child with us.
We did have a small child. She was three.
Yeah, we're going to go to New Zealand and it's going to be all right. We're just going to get there and it'll work out. It's what I vaguely remember being.
Did you get a visa?
Yeah.
Just got tickets through a plane and went.
No, we got a visa. It was all official.
If they got a visa so they could buy the tickets to the plane.
I had another life. I have a degree in computer science from the University of Cambridge.
Ah, there you go. So, yes, I remember you famously wore a T-shirt saying we'll work for cash or something, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did.
And got in a newspaper, didn't you, or something?
Did I?
I don't know, did you?
I got on a blog or something.
Oh, was it Roger's
blog? I'm assuming that New Zealand has tightened up their immigration like everywhere else has since. But
They let me in and then they thought, oh my God.
I think New Zealand is quite a relaxed place though, isn't it, from what I see?
Australia's got absolutely a stick up their collective arses.
Don't get me started on them.
See, the thing is, I should have looked at New Zealand because I was going to... go do my PhD at Macquarie in Australia, and then I realised they have big fucking spiders.
Yeah.
Like shelob-sized spiders.
Yeah. Shaolob.
Yeah. Whereas New Zealand has virtually no insects at all, I understand.
I know it's got lots of insects.
But not threatening ones.
No, and of course, spiders aren't insects.
No, that's
true. Arachnids.
But there's lots of spiders. Nothing but spiders in some parts.
We do have wetters.
What are wetters?
They're giant cicada cricket things, aren't they?
They're look them up. Look them up.
So I'm going to look them up
Wikipedia.
Now.
Weta. Wetter. And there's so many of them. As I say, there are so many of them. They have their own workshop and they all work in the workshop. and they make swords and chainmail.
Yeah.
And
they're like giant grasshopper things.
They've got amazingly
edible bodies.
No, the little antennae can do all sorts of very, very clever things, and
they can
make all manner of beautiful artifacts.
They could pick locks with their antennae and creep into your house at night.
I actually wrote a short story about a magic wetter.
Did you hear?
Was that me that went badoomp like that? Or was that
no,
you?
No, that was the cat.
That was actually the cat that did that. So, this one's got a battery, apparently.
It's to show the scale.
What, a cat with a battery?
There's a big red and black wetter. It looks like evil, but it's...
A cat with a battery. Is that a cattery?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. So you've got those. But this is a question I've actually wanted to ask about, and we'll draw things to a close shortly after this so that the listeners don't start to fall asleep. Not that I'm saying they would. That sounds really rude, actually, doesn't it?
You're saying he's...
I don't know.
It's his sexy voice of butter.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, you know, now that the song's a big success. But
or an abject failure.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I have wanted to ask about to people who live in, you know, Australia and New Zealand, is there a kind of weird existential sense of being cut off from the rest of the world?
Yeah.
Do you feel there is a feeling that there's that the rest of the world is a very long way away?
No. Yeah. No, I don't know. I'm not really aware of it very often because of the prevalence of communications technology.
Yeah.
So stuff like this, you know, we are speaking via the medium of Skype in high fidelity.
Yeah.
You know, at Christmas, I get my parents out of a shiny box and we talk to them for a bit and then we put them away and have a barbecue.
And the thing is,
wouldn't that be great if everybody could do that?
And if you have iPhones, you could actually phone them from your phone if you've got a connection, FaceTime them. And
I can phone them from my phone
by the power of phone. Over the seas, though. I have actually
done that.
Yeah.
But I don't have an iPhone. I have a Galaxy S4.
Samsung Galaxy S4,
if you, because you know, I've just publicised that to every one of Alex's listener. Samsung Galaxy S4, please give me the next one for free.
I believe it's called the Samsung Galaxy S5.
It's actually called the Samsung Galaxy X5. S5, a letter. Anyway,
yeah,
it's wearing thin.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
like my trousers, which are getting a bit sweaty because I'm sitting in the same seat.
We'll let you go about three hours. So people, if they want to find out more about the Escaroff 3, will either already know huge amounts about them because they'll have seen them on Jonathan Ross and the like, or
Jono and Ben at 10.
Yeah, or Jono and Ben at 10 will hopefully, you know, feature you. Or what was that other show you were on? When you were on with it, because I mean, you could use some of your contacts from your Rednecks days.
I was on Hamaiti Paki Paki.
Yeah, Hamaiti Paki Paki. I'm not going to do that again.
To be fair, that sounds like someone who's just had a really weird sneeze.
It does a bit, doesn't it?
Hamaiti Paki Paki.
Yeah, it's like the guitarist in Wimanshi.
I've probably just offended the entire Maori population in New Zealand.
Yeah. I don't think they're big listeners, to be honest, of the show. I don't think I've got much of a Maori audience at the moment. I think you should work on that. I would like to get the guy from OMC on, but he's dead, so I can't. I'd like to ask him about How Bizarre, but that's not going to happen.
How bizarre!
Fantastic record. The whole album is really very, very good.
I don't know. I only experienced it through a sort of Q. Remember Q? Does that still exist?
Yeah, that still exists.
The sort of best of thing that they had, and it had that on, and it had that one where somebody says Fidel blew mustard gas through his cigar, and discombobulated a lot of them or something.
I don't know.
Have you seen? Have you spread that one? Have you heard that one? That's quite good.
Yeah. Is that an OMC song?
No.
No, I don't know that one.
No. Yeah, it wasn't discombobulated either.
No. So nobody who's listening to it can actually Google that now because you're giving us the wrong lyric.
Fidel blew mustard gas through his cigar. That'll be enough.
Is that the lyric? Let's see what that comes up as. Fidel blew. Okay. Blew. Come on.
This is live.
Mustard gas. It's not auto-completing this. Was not was.
Was not was.
I feel better than there James Brown.
I feel better now.
And immobilised a lot of them.
Immobilised, not
discombobulated. That's more threatening than discombobulated, isn't it, to be honest, Christopher?
Well, thank you for correcting it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's what, this is the beauty of the internet. You know, otherwise that could have been something we could have argued about for months before the internet, and now we've got the answer straight away, giving us more...
Yeah, and if Was Not Was are ever remixing it or doing a special, you know, 2014, you know, retro... version, they can, if they want to, I give them permission to use the word discombobulated.
There you go, absolutely. So I think that's fantastic.
They can use that for, that's one for free from the Escrow 3.
That's
one for free from the Escrow 3.
So if people want to find out about the Escrow 3, assuming that they don't already know because you're hugely famous, but if you're not hugely famous, where would they go to find out about this?
You can come to Facebook. Go to Facebook/Escrow 3. That's Escrow. Escroth, as in Lake Town, if you're a Tolkien fan, with a 3 on the end, Escroth 3. Or you can go, you can find us on Twitter, at Escroth 3.
Yeah. And
spelt the same way. Or if you go to LiveJournal.
and finally, Kaboombi, what's that all about?
Oh, bring me back, and we'll talk about Kaboombi.
Okay, so is Kaboombi on its on? Yeah, we'll leave this as a little temptation for the listeners.
Kaboombi.
Kaboombi. Kaboombi. Kaboombi.
So is this going to be like an animated thing or
la 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 la?
See, I thought it was a game for a long time.
I thought it had a weird fetish, you know.
It's going to be a cross platform. Media franchise sensation, my friend.
Are you going to be a self-facilitating media node?
That sounds really good, doesn't it? A nexus.
It's from, I have to admit, it is from Nathan Barley.
Ah, damn it.
He describes himself as a self-facilitating media node.
I like that. I'm more like a self-facilitating media nerd.
Or nowed, to give it its correct.
Yes.
And on that bombshell,
and on that note,
on that nout, we should draw things to a close. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. When you've got Kaboombi going, you need to come back and talk to us about that.
Or maybe I could talk about my arty farty project, the Last Moonicorn, A Tale of Dark Moon.
Of course, yeah, there's those two things. Okay, the Last Moonicorn and Kaboombi. We will have a show with both those things talked about.
Or my humorous comedy persona from the 1930s, Ho-Dee-O-Ho.
Don't push it.
Oh, okay.
No, you could talk about that as well.
Or as we say in Middle-earth, Howdy-O-How.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And who's actually in The Hobbit. But yeah, there's people who want to go to the cinema. I mean, it's probably still at the cinema by the time you're hearing this.
In 2015.
Yeah. From my point of view, if you're a glutton for punishment and you like cutscenes from video games, then you might like this movie. Or if you don't mind that it's not The Hobbit, apparently it's quite a rollicking adventure. You know, but I feel a bit bad because I know that Chris is quite kind of invested in this movie. I mean, not literally financially, but I'm a bad.
They invested in me.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
They gave me sushi.
They gave you the role of Lake Towner uncredited.
Yeah, and they paid me in sushi. It was great.
Paid you in sushi. Did they actually give you any money?
I can't talk about money.
Is that because there is none to talk about? so the millions and billions that they're going to be making, just remember the extras, which is why you should go and buy the single, listeners. The Escrow 3, the L is Turiel. There will be a link on the page when this is up, and you'll be able to find it and download it. So I'd recommend it. It's an amusing little ditty, and the video is amusing. Go and look at that now. The link will be below this. Actually, when the YouTube version goes up, I might do something fancy and put a little link on the video bit. That might be quite clever. So Chris, all that's, well, before we go, is there anything you would like to say in closing?
Oh.
Do that again.
A single sound. Oh. Three sounds to mark the three members of the Escroth Three. Very well.
No, that would be. Oh.
And on that bombshell,
Christopher
Winchester, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And all that's left to say is a traditional Future Library goodbye. Goodbye. Future Library is brought to you by petpiranha.com, where you can go and find out various things about people who we've talked about and various people who haven't been on the podcast yet, but might be in the future. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's twitter.com/futurelibrary1. So that's Future Library with a number one. And you can email me at alexbottom@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe via iTunes. Just search for Future Library there. That's it. Thanks.